Today on Compassion Radio.
So explain to us, what kind of miraculous things are happening now on the front lines?
We believe that the hope of our nation is Jesus. So when a church is planted in a village and the transformation is taking place in all the aspects of the people. And when we pray for the people, God is revealing himself in manifestation of signs and wonders, answering their prayers, healing their diseases, and make them to understand that he is a prayer answering God, that he is a living God.
This is Compassion Radio with Bram Floria. On this program, Bram spends time with people who live their lives in a missional way, whether it's in a mud hut in remote Africa, a church in war-torn Ukraine, a village in Nepal devastated by an earthquake, or one of the countless Christ-centered ministries in the United States. Bram is there, tirelessly bringing you the life-changing stories of God's love, goodness, and faithfulness. A while back, Bram had the chance to speak with the Reverend C. Benjamin of the India Gospel League. Now, this is a ministry that does more than just talk about helping people. They're making a real difference in a hands-on way in the lives of countless people in India. I'm Frank Montenegro, inviting you to join us for part one of their conversation.
Well, welcome to this edition of Compassion Radio. Today, we're going to introduce someone who's been an old friend to us at the Compassion Radio office because we've visited with him in India before. He's the right-hand man of Sam Stevens, the president of the India Gospel League. And the Reverend C. Benjamin, known better as Benny, he's one of those guys that make you feel very comfortable crossing that divide between cultures and experiencing what God is doing in the nation of India. And Benny's with us in studio today to tell a little bit about what is happening right now on the front lines of faith. So, Benny, welcome to Compassion Radio.
Thank you for this great opportunity to speak to the listeners of Compassion Radio.
It's good to have you with us. Now, you are one of those people that was there at the very beginning of what India Gospel League became. So tell us just a little bit about how Sam found you and what you were doing in those early years.
1988, I met Reverend Samuel Stevens. One of his friends is a colleague of my father. So he introduced me to Sam, that Sam said he needs some people to come and help him in Salem with India Gospel League. So that was introduced and I was invited by him. So I joined with him in 1989.
And that was right at the very beginning of what this movement we know now as the India Gospel League became.
Yes, that's the beginning of the movement called Vision 2000 since 1990.
Describe what happened there. Why did he call you? Why did he need you?
That's the time, 1988, our founder, the father of Samuel Stevens, has gone to be with the Lord. Hmm. And so he has taken the leadership of this organization as a young age. And so he needs some people to help him to carry on the vision that God has given to him in evangelism and church planting.
And it seemed big even then. The idea was to plant churches and help build orphanages across the nation of India. But there wasn't a lot of organization happening yet. And you were young men at that time. Sam was maybe about 30 years old or so.
Yeah.
And you were not much younger than him. And so God called you as a young man, fresh out of seminary, to assist this great vision. What became of that original vision?
God has spoken to him to train and equip the church planters to plant more churches. Because in India, there was lots of proclamation of the gospel in 70s and 80s. But there was no follow-up of all this proclamation of the gospel. And there was no emphasis on the planting of the churches in the villages. So the first time Samuel Stevens gathered the church planters and given them a goal of planting one church every year, pass on this vision and motivating them, training them to do that.
And when you talk about training them to prepare, training them to plant and nurture a new fellowship of believers, in 1 year's time, they were responsible for approaching not just another neighborhood, but a village that had never even heard the name of Jesus.
So we encourage them to identify a village where there is no single Christian.
Not a single one.
Yes, not a single one or any Christian ministry. So they go and identify that village. We encourage them to go and talk to people, build relationship with them in that village, and have a goal to at least to find out 20 baptized believers in 12 months' time.
And in 12 months' time, they would establish this group of 20 baptized believers from zero to 20 believers. And we're not just talking about people who have heard the gospel. We're talking about people who have been trained to proclaim the gospel in that amount of time. Because when they are baptized, they have already witnessed to others. So that's one of the requirements you have about baptism.
Yes, we encourage all of our new believers before they baptize. They have to go and share their gospel with one of their new friends or family member in the village.
You can imagine what it would be like here in the States if all of our baptized members already had experience as evangelists, what that would do for our church bodies here. And it's one of the reasons why the church is growing so fast in India.
Yes, that's the reason, because we always include all the believers in the work of Great Commission. It's part of every believer have to share the extension of God's kingdom in that village.
Okay. We could spend an entire program rehashing some of the incredible things that have happened with the organization. Just the numbers alone are stunning. Yeah. So I'll recap them here so our listening audience is familiarized with them if they haven't heard about India Gospel League before. But I don't want to dwell just on what the numbers have been in the past 20 years. I want to talk about what's happening this year on the front lines. So first off, let's just talk about the vision. The vision originally was, in 8 years' time, before the year 2000, these 200 pastors, if they applied themselves, could possibly plant as many as 1,600 churches if they just did one a year. Mm-hmm. So each pastor responsible for one new church a year and one new village. Yeah. Now, of course, you assume that there might be some fall off from that. There might not be as many churches planted as you dream. Yeah. So you put a limit on that that said, if we got to at least 1,000 churches, that would be a success. So that first 1,000 church goal, how long did it really take you to reach that first goal?
Yeah, 1992, when 200 church planters committed themselves to plant one church a year. So we came across about 1,600 churches. So we were scared and think of how we'll be done. So we don't have enough faith. So we said, let us leave away the 600 churches and to go for 1,000 churches. Yeah. So we have a slogan saying that 1,000 churches by year 2000.
So that Vision 2000 was to see 1,000 new churches.
Churches by year 2000.
And it took how long?
And when we came back after 12 months in 1993, we found that they already planted 800 churches.
Already 800 of the 1,000 that you were hoping for in 10 years' time.
8 years' time.
So obviously, God had to increase your faith as you went along.
Yes, so that was really increased our faith, and we were more church planters were interested to part of this movement.
So not only more churches were growing, but more people were coming to you saying, how do I become part of this movement?
Yes, yeah. Those people heard about that, and there's something motivating them. So they came and be a part of this movement. The movement was spreading out from Salem to different districts and different states of India.
So it continues to grow today. Yeah. So just we'll go straight to the chase here. At the end of the 8 years, that meant the scope of Vision 2000. How many churches were actually planted after 8 years?
After 8 years, when we found all the statistics and information said that we have already found 20,000 churches by year 2000.
So there was a 20-fold increase over the original vision in that first 10 years. Yeah. And now it's doubling geometrically, and so the next 10 years, you've already doubled that again beyond what you expected. Now you're at like 70,000 churches on your way to 100 right now.
Yes.
So that could be a very unwieldy organization to organize, to shepherd. And so there's not many people that are doing this work. So you have to be like a laser on the essentials, the important things that you want these pastors to learn and mature in so they can successfully train their churches up to become sending churches themselves.
Yes, our goal is to make all these churches as a healthy churches. So we focus on discipleship and leadership in the churches so that we can create leaders within the church to lead the new churches planted around the church. And so we are focusing on equipping church to grow as a healthy church so that they can in turn go and share the gospel and multiply and plant churches.
Okay, now it's important to talk about what a healthy church means. I would say one of the great measures of a healthy church would be how aggressive their faith is. They're stepping out and reaching out to others. That's important. But because you're transforming an entire society at the same time, describe for us what you would consider a healthy church in a village.
A healthy church in a village. We don't want the church to be secluded from the community and just a group of believers gathered together worshiping and celebrating their fellowship. We want the church to be a life center to the community, which means we call our church building in the village a life center, which brings the holistic transformation in the village. So that small building can be used for children to come and learn their education. Someone in the church volunteer, lead them to their studies. In the daytime, they have a daycare centers where all the infant children can brought out and taken care while the moms were go to work in the villages.
Okay, so the analog here for our society would be things like daycare, education, mothers.
And training, vocational training for women.
Mothers with toddlers, nutrition, meals, learning new trades. So trade schools and healthcare and all kinds of things might happen in this life center.
Life center.
Now, there are many villages there that you work in may not have any permanent structures at all.
Yes, though they don't have anything like this.
So this would be like the first major building that would have staying power, that might actually be able to stand up to a storm.
Yeah, the church life center will serve the whole village with different programs, so developing them and bringing them a transformation in their lives. And also the church planter can have a good relationship with the whole community, showing the love of Christ through different programs.
So whether you're an animistic believer or a Hindu that's dedicated, if you're involved in that community at that point, if you're taking advantage of some of these new economic and social and health development programs, you're going to be encountering Christians face to face.
Yes.
So the Christians are not off by themselves. They're in the very center of the community.
So they are having a good relationship with other believers and other non-believers in the village. And so that people can have an access to come to church and be a part of the meetings in the church. So we invite them also for the worship service and other programs so they have an opportunity to hear the gospel.
So in your case, because the Life Center is the center of life in the community, when you say, would you come to church with us? They've already come to church. They've been coming for days or even weeks or months. It's just a matter of crossing that threshold emotionally, saying these people who love me, who are already serving me, are already helping my community.
Yeah.
They want me to come worship their God with them.
Yes.
So it's something, it's an extension of your life with them.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. I want to turn the corner real quick and see, to help us understand better in the West what it means to witness to a predominantly Hindu culture. So when you come to a village, you don't just proclaim there is a God when you don't believe there is one.
Yeah.
They believe in many gods. So when you bring Jesus to a new village, how do you bring them?
Now, Hindu, generally, they are very religious. So when we talk about God, they give respect because they believe in God. They depend on God. The only thing they are worshiping false gods. Okay. So when we say a God, go in the name of God, they really listen to us. And it's easy for them to add Jesus as one of their gods.
To add their collection of gods, like a menagerie.
Yeah.
And I've seen this on some of the walls of some homes where they've been introduced to the name of Jesus. So I might have a picture of him up along with like a comic book selection of other gods.
The gentle places or in the houses, they also keep Jesus as one of their gods. So it's easy for us to contact in that point, and maybe we may start with, can we also pray for them, pray for their needs. And usually the people are willing to come and tell us that why don't you pray to Jesus for this need, for this disease to be healed. So that's one of the opportunity for us to pray with them and tell them that they can also ask Jesus and believe in Jesus. And when they pray, and God will answer their prayers.
You're listening to Compassion Radio with Bram Floria. There's a lot more coming up, so please stay with us. Here's a word from Bram.
Friends, I'm going to ask you for something special this month. If you are at all able, and you want to be part of what God is doing around the world through Compassion Radio and its partners, would you dig deep and give as generously as you can this month? I ask for two important reasons. First, we need to take care of our responsibilities to our wonderful broadcast partners. Now, that means the station you're hearing us on right now. Now, I know it should be obvious, but we need to mention it from time to time. If this station didn't exist, you wouldn't be hearing us. And these stations welcome us on the air because they believe in us and because they believe you will want to support the work we do. Secondly, we will be debuting something brand new next month that is, frankly, a huge answer to prayer for us. And it will enable us together with you to give like never before to Great Commission work. But we've got to start with a clean slate, and we're coming off a very lean summer. We can get back to our baseline budget quickly if you'll simply stop for a moment and send a gift today. Can I count on you to make October a special time for Compassion Radio? While you pray about that, know that we're praying for you, that the Lord will bless and increase your capacity to live and give for Him in the days ahead. God bless you all, friends, and let me hear from you today.
If you'd like to partner with Compassion Radio, you can call us right now at 800-868-2478, or you can go to CompassionRadio.com. If you'd really like to make your giving super easy, you can just text the word COMPASSION to 53445. And last but certainly not least, if you want to go old school and mail us your tax-deductible donation, great. Just send it to Compassion Radio, P.O. Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. Thanks a lot.
We're always on mission. This is Compassion Radio with Bram Floria.
Thank you.
And now, back to Compassion Radio with Bram Floria.
Now, Hindu, generally, they are very religious. So when we talk about God, they give respect because they believe in God. They depend on God. The only thing they are worshiping false gods. Okay. So when we say a God, go in the name of God, they really listen to us. And it's easy for them to add Jesus as one of their gods.
To add their collection of gods, like a menagerie.
Yeah.
And I've seen this on some of the walls of some homes where they've been introduced to the name of Jesus. So I might have a picture of him up along with like a comic book selection of other gods.
Yeah. The gentle places or in the houses, they also keep Jesus as one of their gods. So it's easy for us to contact in that point. And maybe we may start with, can we also can pray for them, pray for their needs. And usually the people are willing to come and tell us that why don't you pray to Jesus for this need, for this disease to be healed. So that's one of the opportunity for us to pray with them and tell them that they can also ask Jesus and believe in Jesus. And when they pray, and God will answer their prayers.
And that's an important distinction between the prayers you offer to God, is that his reputation's on the line now. It's a real distinctive of your evangelistic witness to them that when you pray to Jesus, he is going to demonstrate himself somehow. And now, not every prayer, perhaps, is always answered the way you want it to be.
Yeah.
But a great percentage are in miraculous ways. And we'll come back with more of the amazing stories of how prayer is making a huge difference in the nation of India. After the break, we're with Reverend C. Benjamin, Benny, of the India Gospel League. Benny, in the first segment, we talked about the incredible history of India Gospel League and how you erupted from the dreams and visions of a couple hundred pastors to a network of churches now that amounts to well over 70,000. But it's almost impossible for us to get our mind around those numbers of how fast the church can grow. But we're not just talking about evangelizing and leaving them hanging there. When you go, you have a plan for how to nurture and develop and mature these congregations so they can become sending churches in the future and transform their entire community in ways that the government hasn't been able to do in 100 years, the way the society has not been able to do in thousands of years, Christ is doing in one generation, which is phenomenal. So explain to us what kind of miraculous things are happening now on the front lines.
We believe that the hope of our nation is Jesus. So when a church is planted in a village and the transformation is taking place in all the aspects of the people, and when we pray for the people, God is revealing himself in manifestation of signs and wonders, answering their prayers, healing their diseases, and make them to understand that he is a prayer-answering God, that he is a living God.
We'll hear more of this conversation next time on Compassion Radio. If you've missed any part of today's broadcast, you can listen again anytime just by opening up a browser on your computer, smartphone, or tablet and going to CompassionRadio.com. While you're there, go ahead and check out our newsletter to find out more about this ministry. And please think about signing up for our email updates. Again, it's CompassionRadio.com. Now, if this broadcast is a blessing to you, would you please consider three things? First, please pray for us. Your prayers are vital to the effectiveness of this ministry. Second, would you please tell a friend about Compassion Radio? Sharing this broadcast will help us reach as many people as possible with the encouraging reports Bram brings us from the mission field, both here in the U.S. and abroad. And finally, would you please consider supporting this ministry financially? Compassion Radio is 100% listener-supported. That means it's your gifts that make it possible for us to continue. Now, there's a couple of ways you can get a hold of us. You can call us right now at 800-868-2478, or you can go to CompassionRadio.com, and when you're there, just click on the Donate button. Again, it's 800-868-2478, or CompassionRadio.com. Now, if you'd really like to make your giving super easy, you can just text the word COMPASSION to 53445. That's the word COMPASSION, C-O-M-P-A-S-S-I-O-N, to 53445. And last but certainly not least, if you want to go old school and mail us your tax-deductible donation, great. Just send it to Compassion Radio, P.O. Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. That's P.O. Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. Thanks a lot. And thanks for taking time out of your busy day to listen. We are so very thankful for you. And please be sure to join us again for more Compassion Radio with Bram Floria. This program is sponsored by Compassion Radio Ministries and your generous financial support.